Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace, love, and discipleship. If this were Christmas in July, we might be singing, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." I always remember growing up and being in the Christmas pageants and always having to read that one part, "Glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth." Christmas time. Yay! Peace. Today, however, we learn if the infant Jesus brings peace, the older Jesus brings not peace, but a sword. What does this mean? I can think of two examples in the Gospels where swords are mentioned. One's not long after Jesus is born. It's to Mary. Simeon, the prophet, prophesies to Mary that a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary. He's talking about Jesus later on in life, the cross that she gets to bear witness to. And it's her son there dying on the cross. It's a sword really piercing her soul, I think, right? That's one time. Another time, talked about it in Bible study today too, was a servant of the high priest. His name was Malchus. And this is on Maundy Thursday. And what happens? Simon Peter pulls out a sword. And then he cuts off the servant of the high priest's right ear. And then we hear Jesus tell Peter in that text, "Put your sword away in its sheath. Shall I not drink of the cup that the Father has given me to drink?" So Jesus may boast of a sword, but every time that there's a hint of violence, Jesus is telling everyone to put their swords away. Is he all talk and no fight? Is he like Roosevelt? Talk softly but carry a big stick? No, he's talking about the fact that the gospel divides believers and unbelievers like a sword divides flesh. As he says, "I have come to set a man against a father, daughter against mother, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law," which proves that Jesus is a keen observer of the family dynamic. There's a common division in our families. And it's not just over politics, but over Jesus and his work. Sometimes families get upset with you because of your belief in Jesus, especially when it disrupts family life. "Why do you have to go to church today? It's a holiday." A holiday? A holy day. It's funny, isn't it? "Why do you have to be shocked, Mom, that I want to live with my boyfriend? Why are you going to give money to the church when you could be saving up a bigger inheritance to give to me when you die? Why must you talk about Jesus every time somebody dies in our family? You're brainwashed. You're living in an age long gone. You care more about Jesus than your own family." No. Someday you'll see that because I care so much about Jesus proves how much I care about you and your eternal life. Just remember, Jesus told us ahead of time that this would be. It's a consequence of loving Jesus more than loving the world. And that brings us to love. "A person's enemies," Jesus says, "will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father more than me, or mother more than me, is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me," Jesus says. The Christian must put Christ first, above family. This may seem shocking, but think about it. Is it right to let love of family ruin your relationship with God? No. And isn't it more loving to want what God wants for your family? Eternal life in the kingdom of God, rather than what your family may want wrongfully for itself? pleasures of this world at the expense of a heavenly joy? How will they know if you're compliant with everything that they want and not what Jesus and God wants? Yes, following Christ is hard. It all sounds great in the beginning, when it all seems new, and it's better than that empty worldview that leads to destruction and helplessness. But when it comes to family, Christ reveals his sword. Not to cut off ears and force submission, but to draw that line in the sand. To see who's with him or who's with the world. Family is the hardest place to realize the division. It's the thing that keeps us up at night. So, love of God or love of the world, the hardest arena is the family. If you're waiting for me to give you an answer to the problem, I don't have it. I have family too. And not all of them believe. And I'm not able to solve it either. I've learned that the only thing I can do is pray. That's my most powerful weapon. I just remember, or need to remember to use it. Jesus doesn't promise that every family member will come around to believing. But he does make promises related to discipleship. Especially who is working through our lives and prayers for the greater good. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me, Jesus said. Jesus has bound our lives to his in baptism. So in receiving us, others receive him. We are bound together in his work, in sharing Jesus in this life, talking about him, going to church, seeing his goodness and love, prompting us to do good things, sharing in that work and the love of Christ in the world. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet receives a prophet's reward. And who receives a righteous person receives a righteous person's reward. We are bound together in the reward that we've received Jesus, and when others receive us, they receive him and his reward. That Jesus is given by the Father for his sonship and suffering on the cross. That reward of eternal life that Jesus receives from the Father is what we get as a reward for believing in him. It's what is shared and what is received through his work through us as God's people. He fulfilled his Father's will and was rewarded with the resurrection. So also we, by believing in his fulfillment, and since we receive him, we receive his reward, the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. Finally, Jesus says, whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. What does this mean? It means that we are bound together in the response to Jesus' call of discipleship. We care for one another, especially the disciples of Jesus, whom he calls his family. St. Paul said, "Do good to everyone, and especially those who are of the household of faith." There are no rewards lost in doing good for your family, your eternal family, the household of faith. So in the arenas of peace, love, and discipleship, here's what we learn. Jesus brings both peace and division, especially in our families do we see it. But we must learn to love him more than family because by remaining a disciple and speaking the truth in love, others get to receive him. And Jesus, in discipleship, promises us reception. Reception of him, and that others receive him as they receive us in our testimony. Jesus promises a reward, his eternal blessings, just for being his disciples through thick and thin, picking up our cross and following him. And Jesus urges our response. Do good to the other disciples, for we are all in this together. And the reward, eternal. Indeed, Jesus brings both peace and a sword. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.